Good morning on this Monday, October 9th, a bank holiday in the U.S., but an eventful weekend in the sports world. I'm Joe Lemire, SBJ senior writer filling in for Abe Madcore. In a weekend full of NFL and college football, as well as the start of the division series in MLB's postseason, ably competing for headlines and attention were the start of the WNBA Finals, the Las Vegas Aces beat the New York Liberty in Sunday's Game 1, as well as an NWSL record attendance for Megan Rapinoe's final regular season home match, as well as a reported new broadcast deal for the NWSL covering the next 4 years with ESPN, CBS, Amazon, and Scripps all acquiring rights. LeBron James and Tom Brady were among the A-listers sitting courtside in Vegas for the WNBA Finals, which were broadcast on ABC. LeBron recently called Aces star and former league MVP Asia Wilson his little sister, and it's a clash of the super teams with Wilson joined by Kelsey Plum, Chelsea Gray, and Jackie Young, while the Liberty feature Breanna Stewart, Sabrina Ionescu, Courtney Vandersloot, and Jonquel Jones. Out on Seattle on Friday night was Rapinoe's home finale with the OL Reign, where 34,130 fans filled into Lumen Field for the occasion, many wearing pink wigs in honor of the retiring U.S. national team star. The Reign have one more road match as they remain in playoff contention, vying for the league's final spot. Also this weekend came news that the NWSL had reached an agreement to extend its broadcast rights. That report, first shared by Sportico, noted that the exact value of the deal was not yet known, but it was anticipated to be significantly higher than 10 times the $1.5 million annually CBS is currently paying. To date, the league has been responsible for the production bill. It's unclear if that will change, but the media rights deal, as projected, would eclipse what England's Women's Super League currently receives. The momentum of Major League Baseball's strong regular season has carried into the postseason. Building off a 9.6% attendance bump year over year, MLB has some fresh entrants in this year's division series. Arizona, Minnesota, and Texas each won a game this round for the first time since at least 2015, while the Orioles, who are in an early 0-2 hole, hadn't advanced this far since 2014. With the exception of the Tampa Bay Rays in the wildcard round, whose well-documented attendance issues were compounded by weekday 3 p.m. game times, the ballparks this month have been notably full and loud. The absence of typical stalwarts like the Red Sox, Yankees, and Cardinals may impact national TV ratings a bit, but there is real buzz around the game, with several of the game's biggest stars, Mookie Betts, Ronald Acuna, and Bryce Harper among them, still competing. All it needs now to sustain this is more competition. The Twins Astros are tied 1-1, which is the first time this month that two teams have each won a game in the same series. Here's hoping there's some more good play going down to the wire. Indianapolis Colts running back Jonathan Taylor made his return to the game field on Sunday for the first time since undergoing ankle surgery in January. His role was limited, 6 carries for 18 yards, 1 catch for 16 yards, but the greater comeback this weekend may have been for the value of running backs. The position suffered mightily in the NFL free agent market, with many clubs eschewing rich deals for proven veterans and instead finding success with younger, cheaper talent. It's been hard for ball carriers to maintain a longevity of elite production, given the physical workload many have carried. But the Colts rewarded Taylor, who led the NFL in rushing yards in 2021, on Saturday with a 3-year, $42 million contract extension, of which $26.5 million is guaranteed. A pair of Taylor's peers, the Giants' Saquon Barkley and the Raiders' Josh Jacobs, didn't fare as well in similar circumstances this offseason, although it's worth noting Barkley is 26 and in his 6th NFL season, and Jacobs is 25 and in his 5th pro season, while Taylor is only 24 and in his 4th year. Taylor's had nearly 400 fewer touches than either of the others. And of note, Barkley and Jacobs were both former first-round picks, meaning the franchises drafting them had a 5th-year team option as part of their rookie contracts, whereas Taylor was a second-round selection and thus would have been a free agent after this 4th season. The Red Bulls' Max Verstappen claimed his 3rd F1 championship this weekend, by virtue of the points collected in his second-place finish on Saturday's sprint race at the Qatar Grand Prix. And then, for good measure, Verstappen won the full-distance race on Sunday. Now, you may be thinking, wait, isn't the race in Austin 2 weeks from now, and the debut of the F1 Heineken Silver Las Vegas Grand Prix not until mid-November? That's all correct. Verstappen mathematically clinched his 3rd straight title with 6 races to go on the calendar, which takes a bit of the luster off the U.S. races still to come. My colleague Adam Stern took a deep look at U.S. interest and viewership in F1 a month ago, His full report is worth a read, but essentially the expert opinion is divided into two camps. One, that domestic fandom has plateaued, and two, that there's more growth to be had. But for that upward trajectory to exist, some more competitiveness will surely be needed. The inaugural Grand Prix in Las Vegas is likely to be a successful spectacle for its novelty this year, but one wonders what the reception will be for a second late-season race with nothing on the line come 2024 if this pattern repeats. As pool play concluded over the weekend in the Rugby World Cup being hosted by France, and my Kiwi in-laws are hanging on every move the All Blacks make on this uncharacteristically bumpy path into the quarterfinals, the sports governing body, World Rugby, has made a landmark announcement that all future participants in elite global events will be required to wear an instrumented mouthguard. That means it's packed with sensors to track the volume and magnitude of head impacts. Prevent Biometrics is the technology provider for this deal. It is a spin-off from research done at the Cleveland Clinic years ago and is now headquartered in Minnesota. Prevent Biometrics and World Rugby have been collaborating for the past 3 years on extensive research, collecting data from around the world at multiple levels of rugby, from the under-13s on up through the professionals. This new deal will enable a degree of personalization and care as each athlete, man and woman, will have all of their head impacts recorded in training and matches, and not just those that cause concussions either. World Rugby wants all subconcussive impacts noted as well, so they can build profiles of overall impact load. But there will also be real-time alerts built into the system, so that if an athlete on the pitch endures a particularly high impact blow, it signals a medical professional on the sideline, and that athlete will automatically enter the sport's head injury assessment protocol. World Rugby Chief Medical Officer told me recently that this is a game changer for the sport. It's bringing tech into the space where it never has been. The focus of this is all about individualizing care. SBJ will have more coverage of this on our site tomorrow. And the NFL, it should be noted, has overseen the development of its own instrumented mouthguard through engineering partner BioCore. Those devices have been trialed in both some NFL games and some NCAA Division I games for years. This World Rugby deal makes it universal on the pitch and something global sport has not yet seen before. And in one final note, congratulations to SBJ Tech senior editor Catherine Acquavella, who completed the Chicago Marathon this past weekend. A lot of us were cheering for you. Thanks to everybody for listening on this Monday, October 9th. I'm Joe Lemire signing off. Abe will be back tomorrow.